Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today, our church celebrates the great feast of the Body and Blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the Body and Blood of Christ is the greatest gift that God could ever give us, because it's the gift of God Himself. Remember the story of the Ascension? Before Jesus ascends back into heaven, He tells the apostles, "I will be with you always until the end of time." Well, that's so true. Every time we celebrate Mass, God is with us. Jesus is present in the form of His body and blood. Thomas Aquinas, who once wrote a beautiful treatise on the Eucharist, said, "We can see the power of Jesus Christ. It's found in all seven of the sacraments, but only in the Eucharist," Aquinas says, "is ipse Christos." Christ Himself is present. And see, that really gets at the heart of our faith, at the deepest core of our faith as Catholics. You know, turn to the gospel for today. John 6:54. Jesus says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have eternal life." Well, that is exactly what we believe in as Catholics. Now, remember last week, we started talking about the loop of grace, how that was the apex or the pinnacle of our Mass. Essentially, within that loop of grace, we at Offertory, we offer God the very little that we have, a little bit of bread, a little bit of wine. We offer that to God. Now, God is in need of nothing from us to add to His greatness. And so, He takes what we give Him, He blesses it, elevates it, and then He gives it back to us at the time of the consecration. See, that's that loop of grace that we are in right now with God. And at the time of the consecration, Thomas will say, "The deepest reality of the bread and the wine have now changed into the deepest reality of Jesus' body and blood." Now, it raises a serious question. Well, then why? Why are 75% of all Catholics, just in the United States, no longer attending Mass, no longer believing in the true presence? Well, Thomas has an answer to that. He says, our senses deceive us. Now, after the consecration, essentially we look up at the altar and we see, right? We see and we say to ourselves, it still looks like bread and wine. We come forward for communion and we receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We say to ourselves, boy, it sure tastes like, smells like, feels like bread and wine. Well, that's because Thomas would say, well, the appearance doesn't change. Who cares about the appearance? What we care about most is the deepest reality, and that's what changes from the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Thomas goes on. He says, faith alone may safely guide us where our senses cannot lead or deceive us. And see, it's by faith. Faith is absolutely essential for us to believe that God has actually changed the deepest reality of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. Now, you say to yourself, okay, you know, Father, I believe that. You know, I absolutely believe it. But how? How does it really happen? Well, again, we can turn to Thomas, and he has the answer. He tells us, through the power of the Word of God. Now, go back to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis, the story of creation. How does God create this entire universe and us? Does He do it by the sweat of His brow? Does He do it from power resonating from His hands? No. He does it by the very power of His Word. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, you know, "Let us divide the land from the water," and it happened. God said, "Let us make man in our own image and likeness," and humanity came alive. See, there's a creative power associated with God's very word. Now, essentially, if we believe that the word of God, which it has, truly created this entire universe and us, then it shouldn't surprise us that that same word of God essentially has the ability and the power to change the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Christ. Now, how does it really happen? Well, the priest stands in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. And the words that he used at the time of the consecration are the exact words that Jesus spoke, you know, at the time of the Last Supper. And so, once again, the power of the word of God spoken by the priest in persona Christi essentially changes the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's why at the consecration, everyone in the church is kneeling. It is a posture of complete respect and reverence. You know, the priest, as he holds up the consecrated body and the consecrated chalice, he genuflects each time because I know that my Lord and Savior is just inches away from me. You come up for communion and the person says, you know, the body of Christ. We respond by saying, amen. Well, that comes from the Latin word amani, which means so be it. See, when you say amen, you are making a public proclamation of your faith. So be it. I believe that I am receiving Jesus' body. Now, take it a step further. The Eucharist, our Mass, reestablishes and restores the sacred meal we used to share with God in the garden. You know, before the fall of grace, it says that Adam and Eve walked in easy fellowship with God in the cool evening of the garden. See, that's exactly the relationship that God wanted from the very beginning of time and space. And in doing so, they shared a sacred meal with God. And in the context of that meal, God shared his life with them. See, that's what God intended from the very beginning. Now, granted, yes, the fall of grace, that sacred meal was ruptured, broken up. And yet, part of Jesus' mission to restore that sacred meal. And that's what Paul is getting at in the second reading from Corinthians. Paul tells us from the very beginning of Jesus' life, he, Jesus Christ, his whole life embodied the sacred meal. Jesus, he's born in the town of Bethlehem. In Hebrew, that means house of bread. And yet, it reaches its apex, its pinnacle. When Jesus, at the time of the Last Supper, he calls his apostles together. And in that Last Supper, he restores the sacred meal through his apostles. And in the context of that sacred meal, Jesus now shares his life with the apostles. And then he commands them, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. And so every time we gather for Mass, we now share that sacred meal with God. And within the context of that meal, God shares his life with us. Again, go back to John 6:54. You know, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have eternal life. That's it. That's what God wants to share with us. And so every time we gather for Mass, our faith grows, but also our love for the Eucharist too. Great example of this, Thomas Aquinas. You know, every day he would wake up, the first thing he would do was he would say Mass for himself. And then when he was finished, he would go to a second Mass and can celebrate that with another priest. It says that Thomas could never get through a Mass without shedding tears because he had a deep emotional connection to the Eucharist. Whenever he was wrestling with an intellectual or theological problem, he would go into his chapel. He would sit next to the tabernacle and lean his head against the tabernacle as if to receive inspiration from Jesus. Towards the end of his life, Thomas finished the great treatise on the Eucharist. He didn't know if he wrote it well enough or did justice to it. And so what he did is he went into his chapel and he took the treatise and he laid it at the feet of the crucifix. And as he was making his way out of the chapel, Jesus spoke to him. He said, "You have written well, Thomas. What do you want for your reward?" Thomas immediately said, Nil nisi te, which is Latin, for nothing but you. See, that's the great degree of love Thomas had for the Eucharist. But also at the same time, never underestimate the transformative effect the Eucharist will have on us. Mary is a great example of that. When she said yes to the angel Gabriel, she welcomed Jesus into her life and into her body. And in doing so, she was changed. She began growing into that image and likeness we're all created in. Mary was Jesus' first disciple, the first to welcome him into this world, the first to hold him when he was born into this world. Now stay with that story of the Annunciation. The angel Gabriel leaves Mary, and it says, Mary traveled in haste to the hill country to tend to her cousin Elizabeth. Mary, now, she's living into that image and likeness of God. In haste, she dropped everything. She dropped everything and immediately ran to minister to Elizabeth. She's no longer thinking about herself. Now she's putting other people before herself in the true imitation of Jesus Christ. Remember the story of the visitation. Elizabeth, how she greets Mary. She says, how is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And that as soon as your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Well, that was John the Baptist in the womb of his mother, Elizabeth. And he now recognizes that Mary literally brought God to them. Well, this, in some ways, the same thing holds true with us. Every time we come to the Eucharist helps us, you know, to grow into that image and likeness we're all created in. And then we go out into this world and we minister to people. And by helping those people, especially those people that feel furthest away from Jesus, we, in many ways, you know, bring Jesus Christ to those people, just like Mary did for Elizabeth. In our words and in our actions, essentially, people will hear and see Jesus Christ. So today, our church celebrates the great feast of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's the deepest Catholic reality that we have in our faith, knowing that we share a life with Jesus, not just in this world, but in the world to come, because our life is deeply rooted in the Eucharist. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.